This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I'm Bone.
And I am Brandon Beam.
We have a little bit of a different thing today. We're doing an episode that we've been talking about doing for a while. A
couple months, right?
Yeah. We have been saying we'd like to do an episode or multiple episodes where we just take a little time and talk about a player or a coach or some personality in soccer that everyone talks about, they're referenced constantly, but maybe you don't actually know every bit of their story. Maybe you're not as familiar with them. Maybe you are somewhat familiar, but you don't know everything about them. That's probably where some of us fall on any part of that little spectrum. So we thought we would start this off by a guy that was the first guy that came to mind, Beamer, when we started talking about this, and that is the special one himself.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho. I am Jose Mourinho.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I mean,
what do you before we get into this, what do you when I say Jose Mourinho, what do you think of?
The first thing I think of is smug confidence.
Yeah.
I think of a guy who's looking at you going, okay. He regards society as something that he has to endure and put up with, but it is mostly beneath him. Not everyone. I'm sure he has people in his life that he does not feel that way about, but a vast majority of the people that he interacts with on a day-to-day basis, I have the impression that he looks at and says, fine, whatever. I'll deal with you because I have to.
And I feel like if you were one of his guys, you were his guy.
Oh, I definitely feel like, much like a Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Where you hear the guys who've hung out with him who are like, you don't know him. He's so much fun. He's so cool. People, I love that guy. I would die for that guy. But you see Bill Belichick and you're like, this grumpy
a-hole? This is the guy you're talking about?
This dude?
Yeah.
Because he has to have another side to him. I'm guessing there is at least a different part of Jose Mourinho that maybe only like his spouse or children
kids,
or like maybe there's a few people like that in his life. I don't know how many former players are in that world, but I think there has to be another level to him than what we see. But I also think in doing some of the research for this episode, I understand a bit where he came from with some of the most arrogant quotes you will ever hear from this guy.
Three. I have three titles. That is more than the other 19 managers in the Premier League. Three.
That was his Manchester United when he was getting just raked over the coals for yet again. And it was just reminder who I am. Put some respect on mine. I think as he was walking out, I was like, respect that.
Or give me some respect. He's like touching the badge, he's pounding his chest.
Yeah. So let's talk about Jose Mario dos Santos Mourinho Felix.
Yep.
His full name. Born January 26, 1963. He is 61 years old. Currently manages at Fenerbahce.
Took
a job there.
That's going to be great.
Yes, and by the way, I will watch more I will try to find Fenerbahce games more often because of him. I would just to see.
I don't know where they're on, but we'll find them.
The biggest claim to fame for Jose Mourinho, I believe, outside of the personality that's been developed largely by the British media, right, is the fact that he won a Euro title he won a European title, the Champions League. He won that twice at two different clubs.
He was the first manager to ever do that.
I don't think that's correct. I think because there were definitely other people who did. He's one of only like six people who did that.
Okay.
But here are the guys who have. So Carlo Ancelotti has done that. He won at Milan a couple times and then at Real Madrid.
Yeah, so the Real Madrid stint would have been later than
that
Jose
was after.
Would have got his.
Yes, that's right. Ernst Happel with Feyenoord in 1970 and then Hamburg in 1983. Right, so that one, I think that one predates. Otmar Hitzfeld with Borussia Dortmund in 97, and then Bayern Munich in 2001. Didn't know that. Jupp Heynckes, who coached Real Madrid in 98 to a championship, and then Bayern Munich in 2013. And some guy, Pep Guardiola,
yeah.
I think. I don't know if anybody's heard of this guy. Anyway, Barcelona a couple times and some team in Manchester. Was it United? No, it was the other one.
Yeah.
What are they? Manchester City.
The other guys.
All that was just for you.
You can visit in Columbus here in a month.
That's right. They'll be here. Mm-hmm. So his father was a Portuguese goalkeeper who was also Jose Felix Mourinho.
Jose.
Yeah, why did I say Jose? Jose Mourinho, of course. In his younger days, Jose actually went by Felix. Felix Mourinho is how he's listed in some of these things.
Okay.
He played a little bit, not of any spectacular nature. His dad was a manager of some local teams.
So what I was reading about this too, so he gave up the game at 24 to go into coaching, and they were in like the Portuguese league. I think his dad was like the manager or like an assistant manager, yep, something on the team. And then he was playing for his team. His dad said, okay, well, I'm going to leave. Jose left with him.
Yep.
They went to the other team. Jose's dad left, and then Jose stayed there. And then that kind of ended what was his playing career. It wasn't anything spectacular like you would have seen.
No,
now.
He was
obviously
playing
like with a Zidane or somebody who like was the best player in the world, even Pep Guardiola, right? Like,
yeah,
good player, and then got into managing, and then all of a sudden it's like you wouldn't really know Jose Mourinho the player.
No, he wasn't playing like on any like first division teams.
Yeah.
From what I understood, they were more like regional professional teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is in the mid 80s where there wasn't a lot of money probably even at the highest levels of soccer, unless you were like in a Champions League level team, let alone where he was playing. He probably had, you know, he had other jobs. So he had spells working as an assistant manager at a youth team and was eventually a youth team manager. But in 1992, he got a big break. Age of 29, he became an interpreter for Sir Bobby Robson,
yeah,
former England manager.
Obviously couldn't speak Portuguese. So
nope, but that was at Sporting Club Portugal. And when that tenure ended for Bobby Robson, he took a job at FC Porto in December of 93, and Jose followed him there. They had a good working relationship. He gained a lot of trust from Bobby Robson, and eventually Bobby Robson not just had him as a translator, but had him as almost like an assistant coach.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because Ted Lasso, I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
Nate.
There's a little bit of a Nate story, it seems like, there,
yeah,
with this. I don't mean
Jose
all the way
through. Jose
wasn't
like the janitor.
But no. But like he wasn't
a part of the,
when he gets, when like, when that first happens with Ted Lasso, he comes to that, to, why am I blanking on the name of the team? Anyway, he gets to AFC
Richmond.
Richmond. Yes. He, you know, just meets Nate, and Nate's kind of the guy who's like helping him out,
yeah,
but is not looked at as like having a lot of tactical awareness, but yeah, he actually did. He was, you know, in the show, very good at that. And that's where Jose maybe inspired that character. I don't know. But in either case, Then Sir Bobby Robson went to Barcelona in 1996. Well, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now that's big time. That's even bigger than Porto. And Jose followed him,
mm-hmm,
learned Catalan to, yeah, be able to be a translator for him, and then was still a part of the setup, was very integral, was the B team coach for Barcelona, and even coached.
Which, by the way, I mean, if you know anything about the Mestalla or anything about like Barcelona B, like that's a,
yeah,
there's a reason why Lamine Yamal exists, or there's a reason why like Barcelona's academy is widely considered to be, if not the best, one of the best in the world. And like,
sure,
a lot of this, when I was kind of doing my research on it too, I'm like, okay, well that would make sense. 'Cause I think Jose attributes learning a lot of like the fundamentals about how a club works, like from the academy level,
oh, yeah,
all the way up. And the development system, B team, all the way up to your best 11 that you trot out there every week. Like he accredits a lot of that to his time spent at Barcelona with Sir Bobby Robson, where Bobby Robson's like, hey, I'm doing this for the senior team, but you go down here and work with these guys to make sure that they fit the idea that I want to do,
yeah,
in the senior team.
Well, he even said, and we have actually meant to say, we have a lot of quotes from Jose Mourinho scheduled for this one because that's what he's one of the things he's known for.
Quote master.
But this is one that isn't going to be like, oh my gosh, wow. This is just him talking about how Barcelona, he said, quote, I was more influenced by Barca philosophy than any other coach. They were 4 years of my life that were absolutely fundamental. So he says more than any one coach he worked with, that's what taught him how to working for Barcelona. And obviously that's partially because he's working with Bobby Robson, but you know, again, even in that quote, I guess you could read a little Josie saying, it wasn't a coach that ever taught me anything. I learned everything I needed to know from the structures and the game. I didn't have to learn it from a person. In either case, if you're not aware of kind of how he's viewed, he is known as being a great tactician, but he has later in his career been criticized for emphasizing defense over like scoring prowess. But that wasn't always the case. He initially was offered a manager's post at Benfica in September 2000. I believe he took that, but then very quickly decided that wasn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually left for União de Leiria, where when he was in charge of that Portuguese club, they made a rise through the table that got the notice of FC Porto.
Yeah, and then Porto's where the story really
kind
of begins for him, as you would know, Jose.
Yes. So Porto at this time, I found this interesting about him. When he coached at União de Leiria, he told the players, his big motivating tactic was, hey, guys, if you play well for me, I will get a better job than this. I will leave, but then I will call some of you to come with me.
Yeah.
So if you want out of here, then let's win, and then I'll get you to the next spot. And he did. He brought Nuno Valente. Thiago was his center midfielder for Porto that he brought with him. Derlei was another one that he had on that previous team and brought with him to Porto. So he did make good on that promise and brought some guys with him. In 2002, that's when he went to Porto. And he then won league titles, cup title, UEFA Cup in 2003. And then 2004 is when he hit the money. That was when he won the Champions League at Porto.
They beat United in the final.
I don't know if they beat him in the Did they beat him in the final?
Yeah.
I know they beat Man United.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was in the round of 16 or when that was. I should probably go double check that.
I think that was in the I'm pretty sure that was in the final.
Well, they did beat Manchester United, and that's where one of his big quotes, he had something about Sir Alex having a bit of, he said Sir Alex Ferguson was a bit emotional, and he said, quote, I understand why he's a bit emotional. He has some top players in the world, and they should be doing a lot better than that. You would be sad if your team gets as clearly dominated by opponents who have been built on 10% of the budget.
That's tough.
I mean, this is not Sir Alex at the end.
It wasn't the final.
Yeah, I think it was round of 16. And interestingly enough about that, because I thought it was the final too, but it wasn't. That was the first year, 2004, that Champions League, 2003-04, was the first year they had gone away from apparently a second group stage. Ugh.
Weird.
Ugh.
Don't like that.
No one did. And apparently that's why they said, you know what we should do? Let's have knockout games in the round of 16, starting that early, because that'll be more drama and more intrigue, not just in the final or the semifinal. We can go even before that. And so that is why. That's when they played Manchester United and beat them. So very, like, I just find this Porto thing very interesting because they are the most recent team outside of the big four European leagues to win the Champions League. Jose's the last guy who did that.
Yeah.
No team outside of the big four, you know, Spain, Italy, England, Germany, outside of those four leagues, no one has done it since that team, Porto, did back in 2003-2004. In that season, they had some guys, right? They had Deco is probably the guy that, if you know soccer from that era, you would definitely know him. If you know Portuguese soccer at all, he was Brazilian, but elected to gain his Portuguese citizenship and then played for Portugal on the national team. So a very big part of some of their successful teams for many years. but he played with Jose there. He also went on to play at Chelsea. Probably people would remember him from that too, but he was a big part of that team. The one thing I was going to point out here, if you go watch some of their games from that Porto run, one of the things that was criticized about them at the time, there were a lot of games, including one with Manchester United, a lot of goals that got pulled off the board where it looked like the guy would score and then you'd look and see the referee's flag is up. People who have studied this and kind of look back at it now say, if we were in the era of VAR, never would have won. Because what Porto did very well was they played a high line. They had a very good unified defense and they would step at just the right time to make the side judge think, well, okay, they're offside. But in reality, a lot of times these guys weren't. So goals that got taken off the board probably should have stood and would have if we were in a VAR era. So there's a very good chance Porto would not have won this title if we had the current replay systems that we have now. But they didn't.
And there he is. And that's why.
So in 127 games of Porto, he had a 2.17 points per game average.
Ooh.
Win percentage of 71%, 91 wins, 21 draws, 15 losses. He was in charge for 889 days, going from January 2002 to June of 2004. So, that's when he eventually, right after winning Champions League in 04, that is when he took over for Chelsea. They lured him away with a salary of over £5 million per year.
A lot. Still a lot.
Still a lot now, but back then, monumental. And that's why I say it's important to know all that about Porto, to then, because you're going to hear some quotes I'm about to read you.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, this guy, what an a-. You probably have heard some of these quotes. Like I hadn't thought, what an a-hole. But here's some of what Jose Mourinho said. The quote that he obviously is known for is the special one quote. So if you're not aware of that, that was like right when he got hired.
Right when he got to Chelsea.
It might have even been the introductory press conference where someone said to him, you know, they asked him, you know, about the team and what he thinks the expectations are. And he had this quote, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I'm a European champion, so I'm not one out of the bottle. I think I'm a special one.
Yeah.
So that was his way of basically saying, like, I'm not just like another good
guy.
Coach that you're bringing in. I am special. I am different. And of course, that the British media is like, oh, well, okay.
If you remember too, at this time, like Chelsea were like toiling. You know, I mean, this was Roman Abramovich, I think, had just come in and like bought the club.
Yeah, and Jose's one of his first hires.
Jose was one of his first hires. So like they're like rebuilding Chelsea. So Chelsea, as we know it today, obviously they through their history have been an illustrious career in England's history. But for a while there, we're not to the standard of which Jose had then rebuilt them into.
Yeah, and that's. It was such a big thing for him to go there, and obviously they wanted not just to be competing for championships in England, but they wanted to be Champions League contenders as well.
And they were for a long time.
Yeah. So first campaign at Stamford Bridge, they lifted their first top flight title for 50 years with a record 95-point haul.
And just got broke a few years ago.
That's
right.
Yes, yes. I want to say.
Is it Liverpool and City and that?
I think
title
those
race,
two. I think those two
they,
did.
I think
you're
they
exactly
both
right.
Broke them.
Yeah. They retained the Premier League the next season as well and getting domestic trophies. So, I mean, you're talking about. He comes in
two
and
years,
says, I'm the special one, and then wins the Premier League two years in a row. Here are some quotes from this era that I think are just fantastic. Here's one. He said, he must really think. This is Jose Mourinho. He must really think I'm a great guy. He must think that because otherwise he would not have given me so much. I have a great family. I work in a place where I'm always dreamt of working. He has helped me so much that he must have a very high opinion of me. That is a quote about God that he's talking about.
Not Abramovich or like anybody.
No, he's talking about
like,
God. He's like, he must think
not
pretty.
Not Bobby Robson, like anybody who he's like worked with.
Here's another quote that he has invoking God that I thought was funny. He said, I'm not worried about pressure. If I wanted to have an easy job working with the big protection of what I've already done before, I would have stayed at Porto. Beautiful blue chair, the UEFA Champions League trophy, God, and after God, me. If I stayed there and lost 10 matches and didn't win another Champions League, people would still trust me and think I'm the best. He said this days after getting hired at Chelsea. Like, what about the pressure in England? And he's like, pressure? I already won the Champions League, MF-er. Like, do you not know who I am? But again, he said God, and then after God, me. Like, that's where he would be. And you know what? Probably for Porto fans, probably not far off at that time. But when you hear it out of context, it's like, oh my gosh, who does this guy think he is? He also famously had plenty of battles with Arsene Wenger, Arsenal legendary manager.
He still does. He still kind of quips at him. So like they were in the Premier League race, obviously, this year, Arsenal were. And Jose was asked on like the last day of the season or two matches left to go. They're like, Jose, City or Arsenal? And he was like, City. You're like, not Arsenal? And he just goes, no, never. Like he's just held on to
they
that.
They know what they're doing. Yeah. That's like asking Urban Meyer, like, you gonna root for Michigan? He's like, no,
right.
Come on, I don't do that. But the quote that probably a lot of people know about him was he one time after a match with Arsene Wenger called him quote a specialist in failure.
Yeah, he's like, look at the, he's like pointed the trophy case. He's like, what
they have? Yeah. Yeah, he's like, he's a specialist in failure, and then quickly added, I'm not. And then, like, that's it. So why didn't he stay the manager at Chelsea forever? Well, like you'll find
rub,
as a recurring theme.
Rub people the wrong way.
Yeah, but apparently a lot of the players weren't totally there with him at that point at Chelsea, but Roman Abramovich was. And so owner of the team, and he had a falling out, so he leaves, goes on to Inter Milan in 2008.
Which he won the Serie A and then the Italian Cup and the Champions League all over a span of 2 years.
They won their first Champions League in a bit. But he then became, like we talked about, one of only six people who'd ever won a Champions League at two clubs. And I find it fascinating that he didn't do either of those in England. You know what I mean? Like that you would think with all the English Premier League clubs he's managed, all the Chelsea twice, all these different places he's been, you would think, well, one of those had to have come in the Premier League. No,
it wasn't.
That's not where it was. It was Porto and Inter. But he That team that for Inter, by the way, that won the Champions League and won their treble, won the Scudetto. Italian Cup.
Yeah.
They defended their they won the Italian League, but they also defended it again the next year. In either case, they had Wesley Snyder on that team.
Yeah, they had some dudes.
Cambiasso is on that team. Again, these are just reading guys' names. 19-year-old Mario Balotelli was on that team.
Mario. That's one of the best stories of all time.
Which one? Tell that story.
I think we played it when we were starting this conversation. I think I played it for you. Where he's like, if you had one story to tell, which would be the one that you told? And he's looking at the guy. He's like, you're talking about Mario, right? He's like, yeah. He goes, okay. He's like, we're down to our last striker on the bench. We're 45 minutes in. I'm telling him, like, hey, we have 45 minutes to go. No provocation, no anything. If they talk, you walk away. If they talk, you walk away. 15 minutes in the locker room. 14 were spent talking to Mario. 46 minute red card.
So good.
That's one of my favorites.
The leading goal scorer for that team, by the way, was Diego Milito.
Okay.
Which I had forgotten all about him, but what a dude right there. He was in charge there from, like you said, 2008,
just
2010.
Just a couple of years.
This is a recurring thing with Jose Mourinho. He's there for a few years and then he wears out his welcome. And then he went on to go to Real Madrid because they said, hey, this guy's won Champions League. We need to do that. We haven't won for them. It was like a drought of 4 years. And so they were like, a panic. Everybody, we have to do something. Also kind of surprising, right, when you hear that he's won two Champions Leagues.
Well, and
didn't
you
get
also
it done at Real Madrid.
At that roster that they had. Like, you want to talk about a young Benzema, Ronaldo, Ozil, like all these guys that Real Madrid had. Sergio Ramos, right? Like all these crazy dudes that Real had. It's like, how did you not win that? But I find the most fascinating part about when he went to Real Madrid. So during this whole time, from us talking about his time at Porto and then to Chelsea for a few years and then to Inter, Jose Mourinho still has and will have for forever, I think. I don't think this will ever get beaten. 9 years in a row from his time at Porto, and then it got broke during Real Madrid, he did not lose a home game.
Really?
Did not lose is 151 straight matches in which his team did not lose at home.
That is
across
that is unreal.
Four leagues, four different jobs that he did not lose a home game.
Domestic home game.
Yeah.
Wow. That's stunning. That is. Yeah, you're right. No one's going to beat that. I don't think. I mean, especially not with changing leagues. Like maybe Pep could have something like that. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so.
151 straight
Good
during
Lord.
This time
that
where
is,
they did not lose a domestic league.
That is unreal. When at Real Madrid, like plenty of good, he beat Barcelona, La Liga. That was a Pep team. That was a big deal, but never got over the hump with the Champions League. And then from there, we kind of see if I said this to his face, he would fight me, but like, the decline of Jose Mourinho, the retread. Yeah, the second half of his career now that people look at is like, well, I guess we could go get Jose Mourinho. That's where this all started, was after Real Madrid. That's when he went back to Chelsea for a couple years.
He was rumored, too, I remember, in that offseason when Fergie was retiring.
Yes.
That Manchester United, everyone's like, go and get Jose Mourinho. They went with David Moyes. Rest has been history, as it kind of has been for Jose.
Yeah.
It's not been very good since. But he would have his chance, my friend.
Yeah,
just wait.
They did circle back to him in 2016. And again, he brought them more success than they'd had. And you could argue, I think certainly not, you were not going to put Eric Ten Hag's tenure above this, right? He's been probably more successful in his time than Ten Hag was, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's...
Won a European championship. Won the Europa League.
Yeah. So that's... And had them second to Manchester City.
Yeah.
Like, they've not been anywhere really close to that since.
No.
So
he called that the greatest accomplishment of his career.
Which is, again, even in faint praise, twisting the knife on you, you know? So then finally with Tottenham, not finally, but Tottenham is another one where it did not go well there.
Yeah. I don't know if he's got a quote anywhere about saying this, but, I mean, he has talked about his time at Tottenham. He's like... And I know we've got a lot of Spurs fans that listen to this, and we have a lot of fun with you guys for, you know, the lack of winning, but it's kind of become a thing that I think he called it like loser DNA or something like inside of the club.
Yeah.
I'm like, man,
Man,
that was, well, yeah, he still references that to this day. Like he brings
he's
it
like
up.
He's like openly talks about how that's been his, like, least favorite yeah. place he has ever managed.
Which, again, like, the Manchester United stint, I know, is a little bit painful for you, but comparatively, like, I think this Tottenham stint
was fine. You got what you got. Like, you got what you got, and you knew what you were getting yourself into with Jose.
But again, it's every 2 or 3 years moving on. And then the last stint before Fenerbahce has been Roma, where, again, they won that European conference.
Yeah.
That's the thing where he has only guy who has won all three of the current European championships. Yeah. He's won Europa, he's won Champions League, and now he's also won this conference, whatever it's called. So that's a thing that he has that no one to date, and probably no one for a while, will get to.
Well, you have to think, I mean, like, Pep's not getting that.
No.
You know, like, guys who you would think, like, they're not often playing in Europa. Like, Jurgen Klopp could have done it this year.
Yeah.
But they didn't win Europa.
Yeah.
You know, like, when's the next time he's going to coach a team that's going to be in conference? Like, probably not for a while.
Yeah.
He named his best 11.
Okay.
And I find this to be pretty interesting. And this was from a few years ago, and I don't think anything has probably changed on this. Starting a goalkeeper, Peter Cech. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
Nope.
That guy was crazy. Left back, Gallus. Center backs, Carvalho and John Terry. Of course, Zanetti on the right side is a right back.
Yep.
His midfield of Frank Lampard, Claude Makélélé, and Mesut Ozil. And then up top, Eden Hazard, Didier Drogba in the middle, and Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's a lineup right
and
there.
And I don't know which Ronaldo he's talking about, because he, I think, coached both of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I think you're right. Yeah. That's a very – it has to be – well –
R9. I mean, he's called R9 the best player he's ever seen.
Okay, so it's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense. I will say this. This is the last thing I wanted to bring up, and we'll get out of here with this. Because the goal of these two is not to make these too long, but I wanted to give you this quote. This is Rafa Benitez's wife, Maria de Montserrat. I don't know if you've ever heard this quote or aware of this little dust-up, because he had rivalries with lots of managers.
He's talking about Cristiano, too, not R9.
Oh, he was talking about Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay. All right. Here is what he said about, this is what Rafa Benitez's wife, Maria de Montserrat, said about Jose Mourinho. When he took over Real Madrid, Rafa Benitez, she said, quote, Real Madrid are the third of Jose Mourinho's old teams Rafa has coached. We tidy up his messes.
Mm.
Here's Jose's response.
Oh, Jesus.
And I saved this one for last because it's one of his best ever. He said, the lady is a bit confused, with all respect. I'm not laughing because her husband went to Chelsea to replace Roberto De Matteo. And then went to Real Madrid and replaced Carlo Ancelotti. The only club where her husband replaced me was at Inter Milan, where in 6 months he destroyed the best team in Europe at the time. And for her to also think about me and to speak about me, I think the lady needs to occupy her time. And if she takes care of her husband's diet, she will have less time to speak about me.
Jesus Christ.
Woo! Again.
I would never want to muddy the waters with Jose.
I want to tell you, I'm not here for get back in the kitchen discourse. That's not me. I'm not for that. I'm also not believing that she has any responsibility to monitor Rafa Benitez's weight. I'm not here for fat shaming. I'm also telling you, for some reason, I can't stop laughing at that quote. Because I think that's the best way to sum up Jose Mourinho is, like, he says complete a-hole things, and yet somehow a good amount of people in soccer go,
That's Jose being Jose,
and he kind of gets away with it. No one else in soccer can get away with some of the stuff he does. So
title at Fenerbahce, you think? Trophy?
Two of them.
Yeah.
And then gone in 3 years.
If that.
To manage the U.S.
Hey,
you know what? Maybe they can woo him to the U.S. national
team. I'm telling you, when he comes over to MLS or becomes U.S. men's national team manager, we will have him on the podcast.
Absolutely. That'll be we will never stop calling. We will call every day until we can get him on. A goal before we wrap this show up at some point in the future, whenever it naturally sunsets, is to get him on the show.
Yeah,
at some point we have.
Totally.
Thank you.
I think we can. I think us and Jose would get along just fine.
Yeah. I think once he learns that we, like, don't take any of this too seriously and we respect what he's done, I think we would be big friends. I think we would get along famously. Well, thank you for listening to this. Let us know your thoughts on it. Tweet us at @BoneBeamUnited. If this is the first time you've heard it, say subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episodes. But thanks again. See you next time.